Well, good morning, Bible Way Church. April the 5th, and we thank you for joining the broadcast here this morning. It is, again, an empty auditorium here. We've got a few people here with us this morning, and so thankful for those who come to be a part of the service. But just thankful that the Lord's here, and that those of you online have taken time to look at the broadcast. We do hope it'll be a blessing to you. The pastor was sharing with us that hearing word now about people, you know, all over the place that are seeing the broadcast, and we do hope that if it's a blessing to you, that you'll get a chance to share it with others. So first thing I'd like to do is ask Brother Coulter if he'll come this morning. He's going to open for us in prayer.
Brother Brian, sure is good to hear his voice. I ain't heard it in a while. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, it sure is good to be in your house today, Lord God. Sure is good, Lord, to know a God that can come where we're at, Lord. It's good to know you, the King of Kings, Lord, to say, step through walls while there's a waiting on you, Lord God. You can do the same today. Lord God in heaven, you can comfort them, Lord, that are in quarantine, sick, and their loved ones can't see them, but there's one that can come be with them, Lord. And I ask you, Jesus, you just visit with them that are sick and lowly of heart, Lord God. And Lord, you be with them families as they faithfully get up and Lord God, they might not can go attend a church, Lord, but they can get online and bring the gospel to their home, Lord God. I ask you to visit with each and every home faithful this day, Lord, that would seek your face and whatever means they have, Lord. I ask you to visit with them, Lord God. And I ask you to convict and convert the sinner, Lord God. And men be getting saved. They don't know where to look. Let them look to thee, Lord. They don't know to look left or right. They just think death's a-coming, and it is, Lord. But Lord God, you're coming too, and you're alive, Lord, and they can look to you. And I ask you, Lord, that the lost man be saved. And I ask you, Lord, that the Christians be comforted. And Lord God, I ask you to be with every preaching man this day. Lord, whether they're preaching in a pulpit or on a computer, Lord, or even just to their little old family, I ask you, Lord, you'd grace them and anoint them, Lord, with your power. And I thank you this day. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Coulter. I do appreciate that. And we'll go ahead and make our announcements this morning. We did choose a verse this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? And there's a lot of concern, a lot of anxiety, tremendous amount of uncertainty in the world around us today. But I'm glad that we can look towards the cross of Calvary and know that we have a Savior. We can look in the Word of God and see the relationship that God had always sought with man. And the strength of our convictions isn't in things that we can understand, but it's in the knowledge that we have a Savior, a God who loves and cares for us. And we can look to Him and put the fear aside, as it were, and go forward in faith. All right, so our opening and our prayer, our announcements this morning, Brother Gerald Rose is here with us. He's going to come and sing a song for us this morning, our sermon from the pastor, and then our close. And Miss Rachel, if we'll go forward. Again, just wanted to reinforce the shelter-in-place guidelines that are out there, avoiding exposure. The church services, I sure wish that you all could be here, and we do look forward with the greatest anticipation of the church being filled. And I was thinking about our friends this morning, and I look around and I don't see Houston, and I don't see Brother Jimmy, and I don't see Brother David Dunham, and I don't see Brother John or Brother John back here, you know, either one of them. I see just a few faces here this morning, but this thing will clear up, and we will be back together as a congregation worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and I just absolutely believe it will be wonderful. It will be tremendous once we get through this thing and get back together again. So looking forward to that. Now, I called out this morning a quote from the CDC. It's critical to emphasize that maintaining a 6-foot social distancing remains important to slowing the spread of the virus. And they also are advising the use of a simple cloth type of a face covering, an N95 mask if you have it. But listen, particularly our folks who are at risk or higher risk, when you're out in public, what have you, if you have to be out in public, and don't go unless you need to, then take preventive precautions. When the church is able to meet again, we want everybody to be back. just happy and healthy, and so stay that way and follow these guidelines. Okay, Miss Rachel? All right, I wanted to say thank you to our first responders, to healthcare, to the ministry, to those who are in essential services, the military. I think about those on the front line, what's going on with some of the guys in the naval ship this week, the faithful caregivers, those who are out on the road driving trucks and what have you. Thank you for all of those who are still the backbone of this country and still putting your own health and safety aside so that you can be a blessing to others. Thank you so much. Now, I want to remind you about the CDs, the DVDs that are online, and particularly call out this past Wednesday service. There's so many, many great messages that are on this website. But listen, church, if you get a chance, let me rephrase that, make time to see Brother Don McCann's message from this past Wednesday. And I believe that was maybe April 1st, but it was the one from this past Wednesday. It will be a blessing to you. Brother Don McCann is just a blessing, and what an encouragement his message is. It will do something for you if you'll take a few minutes to look at that. And also, in the way of just a burden and a prayer request, do think about Brother Don and men of faith like him who are evangelists, who not only are they sheltering in place, they're missing the opportunity to present the gospel, which is their calling. And also, most of these guys, their livelihood, their family is supported by the meetings that they have. So think about those people. Pray for them. Ask God if he would do something in your life that you might be a blessing to them. I just happen to think about Brother Don and men like him. Pray for them and listen to his message. Okay, so you're not alone. If you need something in your household, groceries, your car needs the battery jumped or what have you, call, reach out to the pastor, the deacons of this church. Someone would be glad to help you if it's within our capability. This is a congregation. This is the family of God. This is the body of Christ. And as a part of this congregation, we want to take care of each other. So reach out if you need something. Okay, Vacation Bible School, the campaign trail coming up. Today's April the 5th, so June the 8th doesn't seem that far away. We are putting together, beginning the lesson plans and all of the activities. So if you teach a class, if you participate in games and activities, if you serve cookies and help with the meals we provide for the kids, start thinking about and praying about and asking what God he would do, what he would do in your heart to have that. That'll be here before you know it. Okay, so with that, we have a special treat this morning, Dr. Brian Odle, and he's going to read our birthdays and our anniversaries for us. So, Brother Brian, are you there?
I am here.
Amen. We've got the screen up, and we can see the long list of April birthdays. So would you walk through it, my friend?
I sure would. It would be a pleasure. And, again, I hope everyone's doing well. And I want to just thank everybody for their prayers. And I know we're praying for each other and as a church, and as Brother Steve said, that we'd be back together soon. So let me get started here because I know you want to get to the preaching. And, we always start these birthdays, and I like it to be in the first day of the month or the second, but we're starting the fifth day, so that means we've already had a couple of birthdays out there, so don't forget to go back and wish them a belated birthday. So we didn't have any April Fool babies that I could see, but we had April 2nd, a couple of people had a birthday, Anna Miniman and Jane Winkle. April 3rd, we had Grace Housewright. April 4th, we had Carol Good. And now we make it up to April 5th, and we actually have someone today. Brother Jim Hagee has a birthday today, so again, reach out with those with a happy birthday and a belated birthday if you get a chance. April 8th is David Dunham. April 10th is going to be our big day. Peggy Grizzle, Rachel Hooven, and Steve White. April 13th, Brooklyn Woodall. We get to around the middle of the month. We get Rusty Farrell on April 16th. We get Dustin Owens on April 20th. We get Abram Amos on April 23rd. April 24th is Isabel Lane and Kim Pratt. April 27th is Debbie Holcomb. April 29th is Carrie Musselman. April 30th is Katie Lawson and Ralph Roberts. And that wraps it up because there's no April 31st. We're being made for then if it's up to the blessing, if it's Lord's will. But I will get to the anniversaries, and I usually leave the dates off. This is just to remind the men to be looking.
Okay,
if they get instructions from their wives, and they know. So the anniversaries as we go would be Gary and Barbara Musselman, which that would have been April 2nd. So I hope Gary caught that. April 6th, though, would be the next one, Steve and Cindy Lyons. The 7th would be Justin, Lauren, Salyer. We'll go down to the 8th, be Harvey and Marlene Moody, Eddie and Bobby Clausen. The 20th would be Lane and Dan Newsom. 24th, Mike and Karen Patterson. 26th would be Arnold and Kathy Dixon. 28th would be John and Jessica Carr. The 29th, we have two, Tim and Amy England, Preston and Miriam Lane. And that would be the birthdays and the anniversaries for the month of April. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Rose is going to lead us in a happy birthday.
He is. Thank you, Brother Brian. Brother Rose, will you come and sing with us? And Brother Brian, we are practicing social distancing here, so we're all keeping away from each other.
Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you, and many more.
Thank you, Brother Rose. And if you, Brother Rose, if you'll stay right there, we're going to get you to come and sing this morning. And church, just after Brother Rose sings, the pastor will come and bring the morning message. Brother Brian, thank you for joining us this morning. What a blessing it is to hear your voice. And we just, like I said, we just anxiously await everybody being here to be a part of the service again. And we love everybody. We sure miss everybody. It's not church without everybody being here. But God will carry us through this. He'll fix this in His time. Brother Rose, if you'll sing for us this morning, and then we'll get out of the pastor's way.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. My voice is not the best it should be because I mowed yesterday and got a lot of dust in my throat and stuff. But anyway, we're going to sing Victory in Jesus. Thank God for our precious Savior, that one of these days we're going to go to meet Him. And I thank God for Him. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he is building for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much, Brother Rose. Appreciate that, brother. I'm glad we have victory this morning in the Lord Jesus. I thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here today. The Sunday school hour was just absolutely marvelous. The Word of God's good. I believe if a man's heart's right with God, somebody could read him John 3:16 and he'd just want to shout, "For God so loved the world." Let me tell you how to change that verse for you. Put your name right there. "For God so loved Rick that he gave his only begotten son." There was a day in my life when it became personal. No longer was it that he died for the sin of the whole world, though he did. He died for my sin. He was going to make it possible for me to swallow my pride. He was going to make it possible that I would be able to go to heaven when I leave this world. And what a blessing that is. We're going to be preaching today in the Word of God. We're going to start in the book of Matthew in chapter number 21. We're going to be in a couple different places. If you want to go ahead and turn there. I have a couple of special prayer requests. We've been doing the prayer requests for our Wednesday night service. But I want to give you a couple of urgent, special prayer requests today. There's a little baby by the name of Samantha. She's 5 months old, and she's at Vanderbilt. She'll be in having a feeding tube put in, and she'll be in the hospital for 4 or 5 weeks, and then undergoing heart surgery after that. Now, I don't know if you could imagine that or not, but there's a mom and a dad and a little baby that needs prayer. Would you pray for Samantha? And then Mandy Hagee, Brother Jim, had a birthday today, or having a birthday today, and I used to think, I think Brother Jim be 71 today, I'm not sure, but I used to think that was old. I'm only 11 years from that, amen. So I'm 11 years from being old, amen. But his daughter, Mandy, is in the hospital in Knoxville, has been in the hospital for several days now, and she does not have the virus. We thank the Lord that test came back negative, but she's having some problems and doing better. Still be in the hospital another 2 or 3 days. If you remember Mandy, I sure would appreciate it. And then Brother Adam Knight, Brother Adam and his wife were going to be singing today. And he texted me early this morning. He was up last night not feeling well and sick and just to err on the side of caution. And we appreciate that. He felt it best not to come today. But I'd ask you to remember these in prayer. And then I have just a couple of things I'd like to add to the announcements. I want to say to our church, you don't know how blessed I was last Sunday to find out that the offering for the month of March was exactly what it would have been had we all been here every day. Brother Gary told me what the offering normally was for a 5-week month.
And at first it looked like we might be just a little bit short, which I was tickled to death with that. And then in the end, it was just exactly, that speaks so highly, Brother Coulter, of God's people. And then by way of the offering, several have asked me already about this month, what we're going to do is you can mail your offering in if you like. And if you like, you can, please don't mail cash. I need to remember to tell you that. Please don't do that. But next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We'll have someone here at the church next Sunday receiving the offering. And then also the last Sunday of the month, Brother Gary and Brother Larry, maybe Brother Bob Kendall will be here to help them. But they'll be receiving the offering on Easter Sunday here at the church. If you want to drive by and do that, then that would be great. If you want to mail it in the form of a check, that would be great as well. But I thank you for just being sensitive to the Lord. I know a couple years ago, I believe it was, we had some projects that needed to be done around the church, and we had a special offering on Easter. It was phenomenal. What God's people did was just absolutely phenomenal, and I thank the Lord for his people, for what the Lord's allowed us to do. I do want to come behind Brother Steve. He did a great job in the announcements, but I want to stress again the need for the social distancing. It is my prayer that we can make it through this without it affecting one of our people. And please, as Brother Steve's already said, take it very, very seriously. This virus is no respecter of persons, and we stress the social distancing, we stress the hand washing, and then Pastor's just an old country boy. I've kindly known this from the beginning, that if a mask would help a healthcare worker being close to it, that it would help anybody. But I understand there was a shortage, and they were afraid that there still is a shortage. But the CDC has said now it would be good to cover your face, if nothing else, a bandana. But if you had something that could fit a little tighter, if you're in a public arena and have to be in public. And let me say this as your pastor. If you don't have to be out in public, please don't. Please don't. Especially for the next couple, 3 weeks through the end of April. Please don't. And I beg you just to be as careful as you possibly can. All right, we're going to get in the scripture, read the Word of God, try to bring the message that the Lord's put on our heart. We do thank the Lord for Brother Don coming the other night, and the prayer meeting was absolutely wonderful. The Word of God can't be beat, and I appreciate the Word of God. I'm glad we go to church, Brother Steve, where the Bible is honored and where the Bible is expected. And where the Bible is used. There's a lot of places that call themselves a church and don't even need a Bible to have church. But I thank God for the Bible. An old preacher said years ago, said it takes three books to have a good meeting. He said it takes a good book, that's the Bible. He said it takes a song book, and he said it takes a pocketbook. He said if you have them three books, said you can have a meeting. Amen. A lot of people have never learned, but our tithes and our offering are an act of worship. What we're saying to our Lord is, Lord, you're worthy. You've given us everything, and the least we could do is give back to you and your work. And I thank God that Brother Gary, that Brother Grizzle was able to get that mission check just as normal, send it out to those missionaries. Amen. And I mentioned last week, Brother Alan Davis and his wife Sabrina are watching the videos up in New York. They're locked into their apartment, and so God knows what he's doing. And I don't have to know what he's doing to trust him. Amen. If he never did anything else for me, Brother Rose, I could trust him the rest of my days. I could love him and thank him for what he's already done. All right, let's read a little bit here in the book of Matthew. And the Lord has stirred in my heart. I hope that I can get this message across the way that the Lord has dealt in my heart. In Matthew chapter number 21, the Bible said, and when they were drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. The word of God said, Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. I'm going to read that prophecy in just a moment in the book of Zechariah. But God's word is being fulfilled. Can I just stop and say this? God's word is still being fulfilled. Some are alarmed by what's going on in the world. I promise you this, because of love of many shall wax cold. Amen. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. But thank God the King is coming. He came the first time. We're reading about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Well, beloved, the next time he comes, over there in the book of the Revelation, what a blessing, coming for his people. And then he's coming with his people. Or maybe a better way to say it, his people are coming with him out of glory. Amen. The Bible said, Tell you the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, This is where God gripped my heart. Who is this? I believe right now in the time that we're living in, beloved, Jesus is being mocked. Last week, there was a man that has a business that makes pillows. That man used to be a crack addict. And that man's life was transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, that man is using 75% of his manufacturing capability to make masks. And yet, there are people in this country that have mocked him because he stood up and had the gall to say, this would be a good time to get in our Bibles. This would be a good time to pray. Well, I'll tell you this, beloved. I just want to say amen. This would be a good time to get in our Bibles. This would be a good time to pray. Who is this? You say, preacher, why would somebody mock the Word of God? Because they don't know who this is. Beloved, I'm telling you, there are people today that don't know who Jesus is. And there are another group of people that know who Jesus is, but they don't know Jesus. You see, I know who the president is, but I don't know the president. The president is Donald Trump. The one before him, I said this and through those years in prison, Brother Colt, I know who the president is. It was Barack Obama, but I did not know the president. It's one thing to know who Jesus is, and another thing to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, and to know that your name is written in heaven. The Bible said, and the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And so, beloved, I want to preach today with the help of God and try to answer this question, beloved. Who is this? Who is this Jesus the Word of God is speaking about here? And I pray the Lord will use it in our hearing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the privilege, Lord, to stand here at, Lord, in the Bible Way Baptist Church. And, Lord, just lift up my Savior. Lord, I thank you for this precious old book the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the brethren. There may not be many of us here today, Lord, but I know, Lord, you're here. Lord, I know that little is much when you're in it. God, we can't help but believe today that you're in our gathering together just to try to be a blessing to our precious people. Lord, many of them are shut in. Many of them are very concerned. Many may even be worried about what's going on. God, I pray that we put our faith and our trust in thee. God, that you would calm the storm, the fears. God, that you would lead those, Lord, that are leading our nation. Lord, I know that right now they're looking to the physicians. And Lord, I'm not against that. They're looking to the experts. But God, would you help us in America to look beyond the physicians to the great physician? Would you help us, our Lord, to look beyond the shadows and beyond the clouds and to see the Son, our Father, the Son of the living God? Lord, we love you today. I pray you'd take the message, stir our hearts, and then, Lord, stir the hearts of those that are unsaved. Stir the hearts, Lord, of the Christian people. Help us to realize Jesus is coming soon. Help us to be about our Father's business, to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. God will give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to share with you today this message that the Lord has put in our heart and trust that it will be a blessing. I want to help you to understand that the Lord works, I guess, in mysterious ways sometimes. And I thought that I would be preaching and going for a text, Isaiah 53. There was a time in my life when I could quote that chapter. I tried it yesterday and I got through most of it, but there was a lot of humps along the way where I just couldn't recall exactly how the scripture went. And as God would have it, I started out in Isaiah 53. The Lord took me over here and directed my heart, this being Palm Sunday, they call it, this the beginning of a holy week. And I couldn't help, Brother Steve, but think about as you were teaching Sunday school, there's a lot of people in this world. It's going to be a religious week, but it's not really going to be a holy week. A holy week is, listen, not about what we can do. It's not about, beloved, what we have to offer, but a holy week is about what he has done for us and what he has offered us. Many today are steeped in religion, and yet they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For they have a form, a fashion, yet they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness, that they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I wondered as I read the text today and the question, who is this? I wonder if we go back over to the book of Zechariah, if you'll go there with me, and understand that the Jewish people, they knew this Old Testament. They knew the Word of God. And beloved, I wonder how did they miss him? How did they miss him? The Bible tells us plainly that they were blinded. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And yet the Word of God said in Zechariah, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. This is prophesied of what's happening in Matthew chapter number 21, as Jesus makes his triumphal entry. You can read it right here in Zechariah. The King cometh unto thee. He is just. I love this. And having salvation. Can I just say this? There's no salvation anywhere else to be found other than in the Lord Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's coming. He has salvation. He's lowly. The Word of God said He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, beloved friend, riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. The Bible said here, who is this in Matthew 21? In the book of Zechariah, the Word of God said, rejoice greatly. You say, preacher, who are those rejoicing in this mess that we're in? I'll tell you who they are. It's the one that knows who He is. The ones that understand what He's done. The ones that understand that this is all part of His plan and that He's coming. Listen, the next time He comes, beloved, He'll not be in a lowly state, riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. But the next time He comes, there'll be a name upon His vesture, the Word of God, dipped in blood, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe with all of my heart it ought to cause us to rejoice. Who is this? I want to use Isaiah chapter 53 and try to answer the question, who is this? Who is this that we rejoice in? Who is this, beloved? Listen, that they're crying, Hosanna. And just a little while later, beloved, they're crying, crucify Him. Crucify Him. It's on. Listen, I never seen people so wishy-washy as in our day, beloved. They'll stand when it's convenient to stand, and they'll fold when it's convenient to fold. But the Word of God never changes. And we ought to be standing upon the principles of the Word of God, regardless of how the wind's blowing, regardless of popular opinion. We ought to be standing right here with this precious old book, the Bible, the Word of the living God. Who is this? Let me give you three things today in the message. It's a simple message, but I tell you, it stirs my heart. I looked at the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53. It begins with this word, who hath believed our report? Look at that, Brother Steve. The Lord just brought that to my attention. It's the word who. The message is called, who is this? And now the word says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is this? Who is this King? Who is this that we rejoice greatly in? The first thing I want to say today, He's the one who brought us the Scriptures. He's the one who brought us the Scriptures. You say, preacher, you're trying to tell us that Jesus brought us the Scriptures? That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Let me give it to you a little stronger than that. He is the Scriptures. The Word of God said, beloved, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And listen, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Thank God the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who is this? It's the one who brought us the Scripture. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Who is the one that believes that God hung the stars in place and named them and hung the moon in place and hung the sun in place? And beloved, listen, that made a man in His own image and breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life and took out of that man's side and made for him a woman. Who is this? He's the one that gave us the Word of God. Beloved, a lot of people are confused. I saw on the news yesterday that already a third of Americans surveyed are having mental health issues. already. One third, I think it was 31 or 32% of people said yes, they were having mental health issues, and we're just getting started into this mess. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the Bible tells us, listen, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I'm glad I know who this is. He's the one that gave me a Bible. Listen, they can ridicule Mike Lindell for suggesting that we read our Bible, but God suggested that we read the Bible a long time ago. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Oh, let me give you a passage of Scripture, beloved. The Bible said we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that take heed. I'm going to tell you, beloved, when we're not taking heed to the Word of God, when we're not reading the Word of God, beloved, when we're not hiding the Word of God in our heart, we're not doing well. But if we're doing those things, we're doing well. The Bible said, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How is it, beloved, that you can have 66 books and over 40 authors and one message? I'll tell you how. There's only one author to the Word of God, and that's the precious Holy Spirit. God the Son gave us the Scriptures. He brought to us the Word of the living God. Not only do we see, beloved, who is this? He's the one that brought us the Scriptures, but he's also the one who sought us through the Spirit. He's the one that sought us through the Spirit. You say, preacher, what did Jesus have to do with that? Well, let me give you this. You remember he told his disciples, he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send somebody. He'll be just like me. He's the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I don't see that in Isaiah chapter 53. Well, let me help you. The Word of God said, who hath believed our report? There's the Scripture. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? There's the Spirit. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen to me carefully. Ain't nobody ever been born again until the precious Holy Spirit revealed the arm of the Lord. Thank God I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And God let me see a hand that reached further down than I could reach up. God let me see an arm that was able to lift me out of the muck and out of the mire and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings and put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. The precious Holy Spirit, beloved, listen, I don't believe we're supposed to magnify and worship the Spirit. We're supposed to worship the Lord Jesus. Amen. But the Spirit of God will direct us into the Word of God. And the Bible said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will lead you into all truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. He sought us by the Spirit. Now here's the main part of the message today. Not only who is this, he's the one that brought us, who bought us the Scriptures. He brought us the Scriptures. He's the one who sought us through the Spirit. I'm glad, listen, I'm glad there was a night in February 1987 when somebody showed up bigger than me, when somebody showed up bigger than my sin, when somebody showed up bigger than my pride. I'm glad there was somebody, listen, beloved, listen, that was able to break my will and my stubbornness. And listen, something happened. I was able to see not only the one who brought us the Scripture and the one who sought us through the Spirit, but I was able to see the one who bought my salvation. That's what Isaiah 53 is all about. It's about the Redeemer. Next Sunday, listen, is Easter. Next Sunday, even in times like these, some will remember the rabbit and forget the Christ. Some will remember the eggs, but they'll forget the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some, beloved, listen, will rise from their bed next Sunday morning and never think about a Savior that rose from a tomb.
so that we could have life, have it abundantly here, and have it eternally in His presence. Amen. Easter, listen, it's not just about the things of this world. It's about the one, the first fruits, the one that rose from the dead so that you and I could have a ticket out of this world. Right now, you can go to the airport. I've spoken to Brother Brian, I believe, on one of the flights, there was 12 people. On another flight, there was 6 people on an entire airplane. He sent me a picture last week as he was sitting in the airport in Houston of that area where they check you. What is that, the TSA, Brother Steve? There was not one soul, not a worker, not a passenger. There was not one soul, that whole picture. And it was a big scan that he sent me. There was not one. I want you to know this, beloved. God has made us a way, not just to get out of the airport, but to get out of this world and to get us home. Amen. Listen, some are so foolish as to put a bumper sticker on their car saying, God is my co-pilot. Honey, you better let Him be the pilot. He don't need anybody to tell Him how to get it done. Amen. He's already paid it all. All to Him we owe. He's the one that bought our salvation. Let me give you some things here, beloved. First of all, I want you to see the God the Son suffering. See God the Son suffering in Isaiah 53. He bought our salvation. The Word of God said in verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Bible said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. I'll tell you, on this Sunday before Easter, we need to understand that in history, Jesus was facing the cross. Jesus was going to go pay a debt. An old preacher friend of mine gave me a plaque years ago before I ever heard the same that said Jesus paid a debt He did not owe because I had a debt I could not pay. Oh, beloved friend, listen, Jesus paid the debt. The Word of God says not His own sin debt, but He died for you and He died for me. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I want you to understand, beloved, God the Son is suffering in Isaiah chapter 53. You say, preacher, why is He suffering? Why is it that God let Isaiah see? Why is it that He let Zechariah see down into the future? Why is it that He prophesied of the coming of the Son of God? This same Isaiah not only prophesied of His suffering, but prophesied of His birth. A virgin shall conceive, going to call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's a lot of people in this world, beloved, they're religious, and they'll say the name of Jesus, but they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. The Pharisees didn't believe it. They crucified Him because they said He made Himself equal with God. He didn't have to make Himself anything. He was God. Amen. And thank the Lord He was. He bought our salvation. God the Son is suffering. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? I'm going to tell you what we ought to be doing, beloved, in these dark days. We ought to be declaring to a lost and dying world, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. But what makes Him different than the founder of every other religion? He got up the third and appointed day, just like the Word of God said. Thank the Lord for our Savior that bought our salvation. A price had to be paid, beloved. Listen in verse number 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Boy, God, just give me something. I don't know where they're going to bury this carcass. I don't even have one bald, amen. I might be like that one fella that got saved and begin to understand the truths of the Word of God. That fella come by from the funeral home trying to sell some grave plots. He said, do you have any questions? Old fella said, yeah, I got a question. He said, you got any of them to rent? He said, rent? He said, I never heard of such a thing. He said, I ain't going to need it long. When I read that just now, he made his grave with the wicked. I want you to know this. He didn't make it long. And I don't know where they'll bury this carcass. There may be a wicked man on that side and a wicked man on that side and a wicked woman over yonder. But God knows those that have died in Christ. And he will get them up when he comes again in the resurrection. Amen. He, beloved, listen, made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Oh, beloved friend, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We see God the Son suffering. Let me read something to you. I read this in a church service I don't know how long ago, but several said to me, Pastor, that spoke to my heart. I'm reading about crucifixion now. You see, beloved, listen, you can't have a happy Easter without a sad crucifixion. It was a sad day when God put the lights out in this world. And our Savior, Brother Steve, cried something you and I'll never have to cry. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who is this? He's Jesus. He's the one that suffered for you and suffered for me. What is crucifixion? A medical doctor provides a physical description. The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeats the same action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flex and movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both the feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrist, excruciating, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves as he pushes himself upward to avoid the stretching torment. He places the full weight on the nails through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet as his arms fatigue. Cramps sweep through the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With those cramps comes the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmatically, he is able to push up himself upward, exhale, and bring in life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, the searing pain as tissue is torn from the lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It is now almost over. The loss of fluids and tissue has reached the critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. He can feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. Finally, he can allow his body to die. All of this, the Bible gives us in three words. They crucified him. They crucified him. I believe sometimes, beloved, listen, we don't stop and think about the suffering. Let me give you another verse of Scripture. Look in verse 14 of chapter 52. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Beloved, this pastor believes it was hardly recognizable as a human being hanging upon that cross. They had beaten him. They had scourged him. They had planted a crown of thorns and pulled it down in his brow. They had blindfolded him and smitten him in the face. They had plucked his beard. They had spit on him. Beloved, he was suffering rejection that this world has never seen. Oh, but thank God, Brother Grizzle, he was rejected so you and I might be received into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah! What a Savior that was willing to pay the price that you and I might be saved. Beloved, it's more than religion. It's more than a form. It's faith in the Son of God that will deliver us from our sin, from our wickedness. God the Son is suffering. Oh, listen. Not only in Isaiah 53 is God the Son suffering, but look what the Word of God teaches us. God the Son is a substitute. Listen, you'll never fully appreciate the gospel until you realize that should have been you hanging there. We should have been the one wiping the spittle. We should have been the ones with our beards plucked, with the crown of thorns, with our back beaten. We should have been the ones where they were driving the nails in our hands. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, honey, the wages of sin is death. And that's what you and I deserved. But Christ, as a substitute for you and a substitute for me, gave his life on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah. We see the substitute in Isaiah 53. Watch it here. Look at verse 11. The Bible said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Watch these words. For he shall bear their iniquities. Beloved, listen, when he was hanging there, he wasn't bearing his own iniquity. He said, preacher, how can you say that? Because he was holy. He was harmless. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He wasn't bearing his iniquities on that tree. He was bearing your iniquities and bearing my iniquities. He was taking our place. The Bible said in verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Again, he bare the sin of many. Coulter, I was in a prison years ago. The Lord just reminded me of that when I saw that there. He was numbered with the transgressors. And I didn't have my suit coat on. I had a white shirt on. And in this prison, I believe it was in Mississippi. In this prison, it was a cafeteria-like setting where we were having the meeting. We were having meetings all over the place. And when they counted the inmates, they counted me. They had on white shirts, but now theirs had a big DOC on the back of them. my pastor that I saved under, Brother Bud Wishon, he called everybody Doc. He'd say, "Hey, Doc, how you doing?" You know what I mean? I remember that when I went in there, I said, "Boy, everybody's Doc in here. They got D.O.C. on the back of their shirt." But the guard, they got frantic in there, brother, because they had one more inmate than they were supposed to have. When he went through their counting, he counted me, Brother Steve. One time in my life, I was numbered with the transgressors. But I'm going to tell you this, I didn't die for the transgressors. Jesus did. And beloved friend, the Bible's teaching here that the Son of God is our substitute. Let me give you this, and I'm finished with this. Not only is God the Son suffering, He's the one who brought us the Scripture. He's the one who sought us through the Spirit. He's the one who bought our salvation. We see God the Son suffering. We see God the Son a substitute. But here's what I want you to see, and I want to close the message with this today. We see God the Father satisfied. Look, if you will, with me in verse number 10 and 11 again. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." That doesn't hardly make sense. How could God be pleased to bruise his son? Can I give you something? God knew it was the only way he could have a bunch more sons. The Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love he hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is." God knew, and it pleased the Lord. This is how it's going to happen. All the way from the foundation of time, even before then, the Lamb was slain. Before the foundation of the world, God said, "That pleases me." He said, "I'm going to make a way. I'm going to give my son. It's not going to matter if a man's rich or poor. It's not going to matter if he has a great education or if he can't spell his own name. It's not going to matter if he's black or white. It's not going to matter if he's from China or if he's from the United States or he's from Africa or whether he's from Canada. I'm going to make a way that whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely." You say, "Preacher, you mean God the Father satisfied?" Let's read it. "Thou shalt make thy soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." I want to tell you something, beloved. Listen, if you don't hear anything else I've said today, that when it comes time for you and I to stand before God, there's only one thing that's going to satisfy: the righteous demands of a righteous and holy God. And that's the blood of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember years ago when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt. God said, "I'm going to pass through," and Pharaoh wasn't going to let the people go. But Pharaoh changed his mind, because he made a way that the people of Israel could be protected. See, they believed God. And they took that blood, the blood of that lamb, that spotless lamb, that lamb without blemish, and they put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And God passed through that night, and everywhere there was blood, God said, "I'll pass over you." But everywhere there was no blood, there was the death of the firstborn in that home. I believe if we could go back, beloved, listen, and hear the screaming, hear the crying, when that mother goes in to check on that child that morning, and that child's laying there breathless, that child's laying there dead, I believe there was screaming, weeping, and wailing through the land of Egypt that day. But beloved, inside of every home where the blood was applied, thank God there was peace. Thank God there was protection. Jesus is telling us here in the Word of God, "When I gave my life, God the Father said, 'That'll do it.'" That'll get the job done. And beloved, anybody, listen, tells you anything else is wicked. Because there's only one that ever satisfied the righteous demands of God. His name is Jesus. He gave his life on an old rugged cross so that you and I could have life. Jesus suffered temporarily so that you and I would not have to suffer eternally. Beloved, you can go over there. There's a scripture. Let me see if I can find it. There, many call this the Holy Week. And yet, they're living apart from Christ, apart from the new birth, apart from being born again. Matthew said this, Jesus in Matthew said this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Beloved, I remember a man saying this. It really shocked me when he said it. He said, there are many roads that lead around the cross. He was standing in a pulpit, brother, when I was pastoring another church when he said it. And I thought, oh my goodness. He paused. He said, but remember, none of them lead to heaven. You can get around the cross, but you can't get to heaven if you go around the cross. If you go to heaven, you'll have to go through the blood of God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, I'm taking his word for it, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Beloved friend, I want you to know this morning, you must be born again. God help you to trust Jesus. Help you to understand that next Sunday, the day that we set aside to celebrate the resurrection. Actually, God's people set every Sunday aside to celebrate the resurrection. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. If you understand your Bible, beloved, listen. I believe God wants us to celebrate. But I believe God wants us to take a moment today and realize what it cost so that you and I could be saved. Father in heaven, thank you today for your word. Thank you for these that have gathered. How I pray, Lord, that something's been said that just be a blessing to our precious people. May someone, Lord, today that's hearing this message, Lord, down deep in their heart, they don't know for sure if they died today they'd go to heaven. Help them to realize there's a reason for that. That assurity, that assurance cannot come through religion or religious deeds. It must come through a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Help them to fall out with their sin and fall in love with a Savior. Lord, you said greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life. God, thank you for giving your life, that we might have life, abundantly, life eternal. Bless your people today, Lord, with peace. Help us to be careful in these days. Help us, Lord, to be looking up, for truly our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.